This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. So grateful that you are spending a bit of your very precious time with me today. It is a very big week for Primal Potential. We have our 500th episode. We have our four-year anniversary. I'm just so excited, and I just need to thank you, really. Grateful doesn't even begin to cover how I feel for every minute that you listen, for every comment, for every email, especially to every one of you who I've had the pleasure of working with. This is our show. I couldn't do it without you. There would be no Primal Potential without you. And I know I've said that before, but those are not empty words. I mean every ounce of it. So a couple episodes ago, I told you guys that this 500th episode was coming up, and I asked what you wanted to hear as part of our celebration. And some of you said you wanted to hear a recap with my mom, who was initially on the show back in episode 204. So we did that. That aired in our last episode. My sister was also on the show. She was first on the show in episode 211. So we did a recap with the three of us. Let me know what you thought. Did you listen to it? What did you think? Did it generate any questions for you? Did you learn anything? Some of you said you wanted to hear interviews with some of my clients who have created big change or great success. And so today, we are doing that. You are going to hear a conversation between myself and one of my clients, Amber. Amber is a mom. She's a working mom. She first emailed me about 18 months ago. 18 months. Since then, she has lost 120 pounds and she's still going. She's been through a couple of my 12-week groups, but she's also, in between that, gone back to work and done her work on her own, meaning her weight loss work, her mindset work. So not all of it has been done while working through one of my 12-week programs. She's amazing. And when we hopped on a call that you're going to hear, I actually read to her the first email she ever sent me back a year and a half ago. And so much has changed since then. When she emailed me, she felt like she had tried everything and nothing worked and she was exhausted by the struggle. And she has changed her life. Yes, she's lost weight, but that is not the most significant part of her transformation. It is her mindset. It is her perspective. And I think what stood out to me most was her sense of control, that she is in control, that she has control, even though she has kids and she has a job and there are so many things out of her control. I could go on and on and on, but to Amber, thank you so much. I am so proud of you. I'm excited for you. I'm honored to be a small part of your journey. And to everybody else, let's just dive right into my conversation with Amber. So I'm going to read you this email. It should be kind of fun.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. It's really short. So you got on my email list and then you replied to the first email where I'm like, hey, this is me. Don't hesitate to reach out. And you said, I've been in the weight loss slash gain game for maybe forever. 15 years sounds right. I've tried it all. I can talk the talk, but it's walking the walk that I've struggled with. You said the mental shift is the big giant piece I have needed. I know it's probably one of the hardest parts, and it's been in front of my face all along. I always thought the mental game was simply, don't eat this or you won't lose weight, and then feel like you're deprived of the good stuff. But the bottom line is, I'm tired of feeling tired. Just listening to a few podcast episodes, I've begun using some of your positive mental tools, so thank you, and I look forward to hearing and seeing more. Does that sound familiar?
Wow, I have like chills. I have chills. You know what it does, but at the same time, it seems like a lifetime ago because I'm in such a different place now.
Wow. But tell me a little bit about where you were when you sent that email. What was your normal at that point in time?
I remember being beyond frustrated because it was after my sister's wedding and I was in her wedding and I was at my heaviest. And I had gotten to a point where I said, you know what, if the worst thing about me is that I'm fat, then that's, you know, at least I'm a good person. Like, I'm fat, and that's, it is what it is. And I had kind of gotten to this level of acceptance, but at the same time, I wasn't happy with where I was, and I was noticing some health issues, and I was constantly tired, and I was frustrated. And I remember it was a few months before I had emailed you, I had tried probably my third round of Weight Watchers. Mm-hmm. And again, I was frustrated because I felt like I was doing what I was putting in the work. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I really was not seeing, I wasn't seeing any results. I felt like I wasn't seeing results. Maybe it was just so slow that I was frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I literally felt like I had tried everything. I felt as though, you know, I had tried going vegetarian and vegan, and I've tried all the different systems and the drinks, and, you know, bottom line is I was still at 300 pounds and I wasn't happy and I didn't feel good. And that was kind of where I feel like the motivational jump point went off. Was I was like, I just want to, it wasn't, I want to lose weight. It was, I want to feel better. I want to feel, you know, I want to not have to take a nap at 1 o'clock. I want to be able to, you know, do things with my kids. And, I remember we were actually driving back from my father-in-law's over the holidays. So it was like right around Christmas time. And I was binge listening to your episodes. And there was one where you legitimately said, and I think you were like, oh, you know, not to offend anybody, but there's no one pointing a gun at your head telling you to eat this, mm-hmm. you know? And my husband had gone to a gas station and picked up donuts and brought them back. And it was like the very, and I remember it so clearly because it was like the first time where I was like, there is no one holding a gun to your head telling you to eat this. You do not have to eat this 6 a.m. garbage donut because, mm-hmm. you know, and so I didn't. And I remember like being so super proud of myself because it being the first time where like I showed some, I don't want to say self-control because again, it was more of a decision and I didn't feel bad about, you know, like that. I didn't have that guilt of, oh, but he got this for me and it's so sweet. And it was like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
And it was a big moment. And I think it was just one of the first decisions that kind of got me moving in the right direction.
I want to talk about how you got from where you were then feeling like you tried everything and nothing works and you're, you know, all talk but not having the walk. I want to talk about how that happened. But first, tell me what is different now compared to then. So you were 300 pounds or more then and you were tired all the time. What is different today compared to where you were at then?
I think one of the biggest shifts was, for example, before it felt as though I can't have it. It was a willpower issue and I can't have it. And it was almost like I felt like I was missing out. I felt, I don't want to say sad about it, but I felt like, man, I wish I could.
Yeah.
And I don't have that now. Now there's this level of, if I really want it, I can have it. Mm-hmm. But do I really want it?
Yeah.
Probably not.
You've lost a tremendous amount of weight.
Yes. I, as of right now, it's about almost 120 pounds down.
Oh, my, you must feel like a different person.
I do, which is why when I heard your email, kind of brought me back. And I was just like, wow. Cause it was a year and a half ago. But it just feels like forever. So yeah, just that the whole piece of like now I really don't even want a lot of the foods that I would eat constantly, you know? I want to eat vegetables so that I can, you know, keep up and not and feel good for the rest of the day. I want to fuel my body in order to live my life versus before where I felt like I was eating because it was time. And I felt like, you know, that's what you do at 1 o'clock, you eat. So I feel like I have more of a life now in a way.
What is different as a parent? Is anything different? I would imagine I don't have kids, but if I had kids when I was at my heaviest, I would imagine I would be a different kind of parent in so many ways, because there's less frustration and pressure and fatigue and all of that. Like, has anything changed there?
A lot. I have more patience. And a lot of it is just when you're not eating, or I guess when you're eating whatever you want, you know, heavy carbs, heavy sugar, lots of processed foods. I was just very irritable, more or less. And so my, you know, I would kind of snap at my kids more. And now I'm a lot more patient. I understand that a lot of the times they're like, my daughter right now is 2, and you know, so I need all the patience I can get. And even then, sometimes I'll have to tap out and like tag team my husband and be like, you need to just, I'm out of patience. Here you go. So more patience, I have more energy. I remember, at one point I felt like one of my motivations was I wanted to be able to run around with my kids. And I could for maybe a few seconds, you know, but I really couldn't hang. And the other day we were going, to like our community pool, and I ran with my son for probably a straight minute and a half, which never could I have done that before. So just, you know, being able to keep up emotionally, mentally, physically is pretty great. And I have my son trying new foods. My daughter is still super picky, but my son the other night ate a Brussels sprout, and he thinks that he's going to grow hair for all the vegetables that he eats. So he is trying them, and then he'll say like, no thanks. But before, you know, I was eating, it was more, I was eating what they were eating versus they're eating now what I'm eating. So long run, it's better for them, I'm sure.
That's so interesting, because I hear from a lot of parents that they feel like they can't lose weight, or it's extra hard because of the foods they're buying for their kids.
Right.
Now, obviously, I'm not a parent, and I have a lot of thoughts and ideas about that, but how did you handle that? Because if you had been very much in the habit of just eating whatever they were eating, how do you make that shift? And was it hard?
A little, yes and no. It's been a process and a lot of baby steps, and I'm still not where I would like for it to be. But like, for example, in the beginning, I remember the rule that I had for myself was, let's pretend like I made my kids chicken nuggets. And I wasn't going to fight the fight with my kids. In the beginning, my kids were eating whatever they ate, you know, and I was in control. Yep, I was in control of what I could eat.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really worried or focused about what my husband and my kids would eat. But like, for example, let's say I was going to make chicken and vegetables. I would make some kind of a potato or mac and cheese or something that I knew other people would eat. Mm-hmm. But I would tell myself, if you really want it, after you eat your food, you can have some. But do you really want it? 90% of the time I didn't. It wasn't special. I've had enough chicken nuggets and mac and cheese in my life. I'm good. But there have been multiple times where, like, and I know parents do this, where you're like the garbage disposal and you eat whatever your kids have left over. Mm-hmm. And I made a rule that if I really wanted this microwave chicken nugget, which you never do, if I really wanted it, I would go make myself a fresh one. I did not need to eat 25-minute old kid stuff, because it doesn't even taste good. You're eating it in an attempt to like save food. I don't know. It's like you just think, oh, instead of throwing this away, I'll eat it. When in reality, it was like, it wasn't good. It was cold. It was gross. So I made a rule that if I really wanted it, I could go make myself a new one, a hot one. Yeah. And I never did, ever. And that went for French fries and pizza and all that stuff, because it's not good. You just eat it out of habit. You eat it because you forget to eat, or you think you're hungry, and then it's like never worth it, ever.
That's such an interesting thing, that I love how much practice you get with that as a parent. And I gave myself that same practice in a very different way. I would say, look, if you want to indulge, indulge, but make sure it's worth it. Because what I had done for most of my life is I'd be at the gas station and I'd get like Hostess cupcakes, or I'd get, you know, some box of cookies at the grocery store because they caught my eye, But if I was really going to indulge in the thing that I was going to enjoy the most, it wouldn't have been either of those things. They weren't even that delicious, but I just did it out of habit to have something. And I would challenge myself, look, if you are going to indulge, make sure it is worth it. Make sure that it is so worth it and so delicious that you're not going to feel like you are missing out. Like you, you know, because what would happen for me, and I think what happens for a lot of parents, is that they have this thing, whether it's the leftover macaroni and cheese or the handful of Goldfish crackers or whatever it is, and then they're not satisfied by it, so they want something else.
Ever.
Yeah, because it wasn't very good, to your point. And so when we eat, if our priority is on not just physical satisfaction, but on really enjoying it, then we aren't left feeling like this vacant pit. And we naturally become more selective. And over time, like I'm sure it wasn't like this for you on day one, over time, eating off your kid's plate loses its appeal because you've practiced so many times going, that's just not worth it.
And you know what? There were definitely a few times in between there where I would eat the chicken nugget and I'd say, yep, see, told you, totally not worth it. That was gross. Like, why? Yeah. No, that's not worth it.
Yeah.
Many a stale French fries where I think in my head it's going to be better. And then you're like, nah. So, I mean, there was definitely a lot of practice and a lot of times where like I would eat it and then be like, oh no. And then it was, you know, I was good for a while.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things is, again, it kind of goes with, it's a much bigger picture than just food. It's almost like the self-worth where it's like, I am worth more than a 45-minute old French fry. Like, if you really want a French fry, you go for it and you get the best French fries you can find, but you're better than this. Like,
yeah, that is so major because most people do not have either a binging problem or a weight problem because they're eating so much amazing food they love.
Right.
It's because they're eating crap that's not really that delicious.
Right. It's there.
Yeah.
And it meets the requirement of food that is there.
Right. And that's the only requirement.
That's it. It's there. The other day, we were out running errands and I got hungry and my kids were hungry. And so I ate a handful of pretzels. And after I did it, so there's still, you know, even now after losing weight, there are still those times and those moments. And after I ate it, I had a hard time stopping was the first problem. And then once I did, I was like, I was still hungry. And it didn't even solve the problem. I felt hungry. So I was eating and it wasn't satisfying or fulfilling at all. And then I was like mad at myself where I was like, why would you do that? All right. Now, you know, where I like, I recognize it. I realize it. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to have a better options for if I feel hungry in the car where, you know, I didn't anticipate it well.
Right.
That kind of stuff. So, but it's still, I mean, it's still a work in progress.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. And that's the thing. You never get to a point where there are no challenges or no struggles or everything is effortless, but you equip yourself with both more tools and more practice so it does get easier.
Absolutely. Like for me, breakfast is a no-brainer. It's the easiest thing I can do, and it's probably been because it was one of the first changes I made where I saw the biggest reward out of it. And so without question, I would rather not eat than have, you know, a donut or pancakes or something for breakfast because through time, it's just been, you know, enough mornings in a year and a half. I've practiced it enough. Yeah. It's easy now.
What was the change you made and what was the reward that was so noticeable?
I remember, I want to say it was one of, I'm sure you know the number, but one of you had like, an episode of all dedicated to breakfast.
Yep.
And so I felt as though, you know, breakfast is the first meal in the morning. So let me start off with breakfast. It was one of the first changes I made. Mm-hmm. And I tried a cabbage bowl. And I remember it was probably the biggest cabbage bowl I've ever eaten in my life. Mm-hmm. But in my head, or no, I think you even said it. You were like, you know, don't frou-frou it up. Throw in as much cabbage as you want.
Right.
You're going to, you know, and I was full until 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which at that time, you know, around 10 or 11, you get that second wave of hunger. And I just couldn't believe that first of all, I feel like it was one of the first times where I wasn't immediately, like, after 8, like, okay, what am I eating next?
Right.
And I had energy and I felt good. And at 1 o'clock when I was hungry, I wasn't ready to, like, go crash and take a nap. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, I modified it because I wound up, like, cutting out eggs and certain foods, just learning through my body. But every morning about, I have, like, turkey bacon, a half of an avocado, and some, like, shredded cabbage, mix it together, call it a, and, like, hot sauce. And yep. I'm good for the day. So, and it takes maybe 3 minutes tops.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I never regret it, and it always tastes good. And if I really want to spice it up, I'll use a different hot sauce. Like, but definitely that was like one of the big first aha moments where I was like, wait a second, you mean I'm not going to be hungry 2 hours later? Right. Like,
I didn't know that was possible. I thought that it was how I was wired, like that I just for some reason my hunger would return, because that was literally all I knew for my entire life was eat and then get hungry and not ever be able to comfortably and effortlessly go more than a couple of hours without eating. I didn't know it was possible to do that.
Right. And before, going back a little bit, going every other program I've ever tried, it was like, okay, now I've got to figure out my next meal. Mm-hmm. And even like, and I'm thinking about this, when I did Weight Watchers or 21 Day Fix or whatever, I would always have fruit in the morning. That's what you, in every commercial that's ever had breakfast, there's some kind of fruit. Yeah. And so that was like one of the first things where I was like, wait a second, hold on. You're not supposed to have a banana for breakfast. Like, but it made the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And, after that, it got easier and I felt better. And it was more than just my willpower at that point, you know, where because I was eating those foods, it made it easier versus every other time I've tried before where I just felt like I didn't want it bad enough. And yes, it's 11 o'clock. Go drink some water. Go for some exercise. Go keep yourself busy until you're supposed to eat again.
Right.
And then you're like ravenous and you eat anything because it's there.
Did you feel like part of what allowed you to create this success over this long of a time horizon was that the strategies you implemented made it easier?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There have been a few times where I have made, I want to say like a willpower kind of move, but overall it's not even, through practice, through just kind of making it a habit and seeing results where you want to keep it a habit.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if you're going to exercise for 21 days and then you're like, all right, day 22, now it's a habit, right?
Yeah.
But like if you don't enjoy it and it doesn't make you feel good, you're not going to keep doing it.
Right. So you're going to be waiting to the end. Yeah. To like fall off.
Right. Yeah. So seeing the results with the weight loss, seeing how my energy was doing, seeing how my mood was better. I was like, all right, I'll keep these things going. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely easier.
What role has mindset played? I know that's something that you and I have emailed about, in a variety of different ways. And it's something we talk a lot about in like the 12 weeks to transformation. But for you personally, over the last 18 months, how has your mindset changed, or what are some of the mindset tools that have helped you the most?
I would definitely say a lot of like the affirmations and mantras. And it does feel like so long ago. So I'm trying to think of some of the ones in the beginning, but, a lot of the mantras where I would find myself kind of going back to old habits where let me try that again, where my mentally, I would find myself going back and maybe being more negative. And,
like old patterns of thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I would pause it or stop it. I remember like the thought faucet, and I would turn it off, and I would be like, you know, you deserve better than, you know, you deserve better than fast food. You know, if you really want this, you can go do better.
Yeah.
Or
like if you really want a hamburger, it doesn't need to be McDonald's.
No, absolutely. You can do better. You can do better. It feels amazing to feel amazing was probably the biggest one for me, mm-hmm. because I would, you know, be faced with the goldfish and it would be right there. And then I would remind myself, it feels amazing to feel amazing. And the goldfish is not going to help me feel amazing and to move on. So that, and even now, one of the things that I found is like alcohol. Mm-hmm. I used to drink a lot more and I almost never drink now. And part of the reasons is because I don't feel my best afterwards.
Amen.
Where before it was like, you know, of course I'm going to drink. That's what you do. You know, like that's just the way it is. That's the habit. That's the pattern. And I guess maybe with the mindset focusing on more about how I feel, you know, the next day or my hunger or just paying more attention to my body and realizing the things that affect it. And then, you know, the mindset kind of comes with that where it's like, no, that's not really all that great. That's not really gonna, you know. But I think that that's absolutely been a huge piece to the success this time. Because before, again, it just felt like I followed the rules. I did what you told me. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I'm still hungry. I'm still cranky. I'm still tired.
And you know, one of the things that really made a difference for me in that it feels amazing to feel amazing, because here was my problem. I don't think I had ever felt amazing.
Yeah.
So on day one, feeling defeated and like I can't do it and like weight loss just doesn't work right for my body, like I'm broken. If somebody had said to me, it feels amazing to feel amazing, I'd be like, must be nice. You know? But when I was dieting, yo-yo dieting, whether it was Weight Watchers or it was, you name it, Atkins, didn't matter.
Yeah.
My primary goal was weight loss.
Right.
It was really the only goal, right? And the challenge with that was, well, the weight wasn't going to fall off today. So it was easy to put off the change in the choice till tomorrow. Like, well, I mean, yeah, my primary goal is weight loss, but I mean, it's not going to make a huge difference if I have ice cream today or I wait till, you know, tomorrow to be really clean and pure and strict and whatever. And so that was in this constant cycle of later deferment, you know, delay, procrastination. The shift for me, when I really started thinking about how food made me feel, was that, no, I wasn't going to lose 10 pounds today, but I could feel good today or I could feel crappy today. Like that was a very immediate choice. Whereas when the primary goal was weight loss, well, if I have the ice cream or I don't have the ice cream, it's not really going to impact my weight today. But if I have the ice cream, I'm going to feel tired. I'm going to feel kind of blah. If I don't have the ice cream, I could make a series of choices where I feel energetic and I feel really proud of myself and I feel like I'm making progress. And that was a huge game changer for me.
That is. And I just kind of had like an aha moment where you were talking, you said, you know, I wouldn't feel, I didn't know how to feel amazing, you know, or I didn't know what that felt like. But guess what? When I ate that ice cream for the next 5 minutes or so, that felt pretty amazing while I was eating the ice cream.
Sure.
And having that like a sugar rush or whatever, you know, that you had a craving, you hit that. Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing for me where, and I think you had an episode, I'm sure you had an episode or maybe it was in a Fat Loss Fast Track group where we talked about it and it was like, why are you going for the ice cream? Like, how are you feeling? Yeah. And a lot of the times, because my husband was in the military and working, and a lot of the times I was lonely and it's like, okay, well, if you're lonely, don't go to the ice cream, find a friend.
Yeah.
Like, and that was a very big piece for me early on where it was like, okay, why am I going to sit down and binge watch TV and eat this whole bag of chips?
Yeah.
Because I'm tired. Okay. Well, if you're tired, you should go to bed. Yeah. Like, those kind of realizations that then helped streamline, you know, getting more in touch with why I was eating and my emotions and my feelings so that I could feel amazing later on. Because you're right, I don't think I ever felt my best until this last year and a half, which is crazy since I'm, you know, in my early 30s now thinking about it, but absolutely.
And in the challenge, I think I recall there was two parts of it. What is driving the choice? What is the emotion behind the choice? What is the thought behind the choice? And how do you solve the real problem?
Yep. Yeah,
because,
that was it.
Yeah, because when we when we make a choice, there's always a thought that drives that choice. And I'm like you in that what would often drive me to food would be loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
But when I would eat, I would feel worse about myself. I would isolate myself further and I would create then more loneliness.
Right.
So I was not solving the problem. Like turning to food wasn't a solution for loneliness. It was a distraction from loneliness that made me more lonely. It's kind of like being stressed out about your finances. So you shop to get that adrenaline rush. But while you've distracted yourself and you've given yourself a different feeling, you've compounded the problem. And then
the next day you have that regret.
That's right.
Oh, why did I do that? Yep.
And you've reinforced a pattern of behavior of turning to food in response to loneliness. And I always say, food is only the solution when true hunger is the problem.
Yep.
And thinking to yourself, what am I really hungering for? It's not fuel that my body needs. Maybe it is connection. Maybe it is rest. And I told myself 100 million times, and I tell my clients all the time, and I'm sure you've heard me say this in webinars in our groups, if you are tired, you shouldn't be making food decisions, right? The after
dinner. You said
dinner,
that the other day, and I opened the fridge, and it was, you said, you made the connection. You were like, if you are drunk, you don't text your ex-boyfriend. If you are tired, you don't eat. And it was funny because I was exhausted and I went and I opened the refrigerator and I was like, do not text your ex. And I like closed the refrigerator and I was like, I got to go to bed.
Well, you know, I don't want anybody to think that that means you wake up tired because you didn't sleep well. Your kid was up crying all night. And you don't get to eat today because you're tired. But I think that's not at all what I mean. But I think that, you know, parents say nothing good happens after midnight.
Right.
No great food choices happen after dinner, you know, like.
And I know for me, I gained a very large amount of weight when both of my children were young, mm-hmm. when I was not getting straight night, you know, I wasn't getting solid 6 hours sleep, 8 hours. I wasn't getting a solid 6 hours sleep.
Right.
They were up. It's so funny because like, I remember listening to a lot of your earlier episodes. And being like, oh my gosh, no wonder why this makes so much sense. Because nobody talks about the chemicals in your, and none of the other programs that I've ever tried talk about, like, sleep deprivation and how that's going to make you hungrier and moodier. And you're going to have stronger cravings. And I remember listening to those episodes feeling like I'm not crazy. It's not just me. There is a real reason why when my daughter was up 3 times in the middle of the night that I woke up thinking, like, I could eat.
Yeah,
so much, you know, like I'm starving.
Yeah,
nothing kept me full.
I hear people say all the time, and it's sort of like a joke on TV or on social media where people will say, you know, go home, you're drunk, right? Like, there's nothing more you can contribute, go home, you're drunk. And I jokingly say that on our webinars sometimes related to food choices when you're tired. Like if you think having a sense of humor about it is so important. If you are, it's late at night, you're tired, it's been a long week and you're like, ooh, I just want something. That notion of like, go home, you're drunk. Like go to bed.
Yep.
You're not hungry. Just go to bed. It's okay to laugh at yourself. It's okay to not take all of this so seriously. It's okay to be like, yeah, this is delirium. And this is like how you convince yourself that it's a great idea to rehash something 2 years old with your ex-boyfriend because you've had 4 drinks.
Yes.
Like, put the phone away. Stay away from the fridge. Put yourself to bed.
That was a big aha moment for me, too. I remember being like, wait, wait, wait. If I'm just tired, I just go to bed? Like, how do you, like, what do you mean? How does that work?
Yeah.
You mean I don't go find like the semi-sweet chocolates in the back of the baking corner and just eat that bag? No, that's not what you do. Oh my gosh.
Right. Right. It's so huge to be able to reframe and see where there's a flaw in your logic. You know, so many people will look for, you know, how do I make a better choice when I want something sweet? Well, the better choice isn't necessarily a food choice. Oftentimes the better choice has nothing to do with food at all. And it's just...
Right.
Go to bed, turn off the TV, get out of the kitchen.
Well, and I feel as though maybe it's a societal thing where after dinner you get a snack. And that's like the program and that's what you're supposed to do. And that, you know, when you're trying to lose weight, you don't get to have a snack. And then you feel I felt bad. I, you know, where I felt like, oh man, I don't get to have a snack. And reality, it's like, nobody needs a snack. Nobody should have a snack. You ate dinner. We're good. Right. Everyone's good.
Right. I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago as it relates to your family. And I love that you said that starting out, you were just focused on you. Because a lot of people feel like, well, if I'm going to eat differently, then everybody has to eat differently. And that can be taking on too much right out of the gate.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know what diet I was trying, but I was doing something, and I'm going to say I forced my husband into it, because I'm the one who mainly cooks. I enjoy cooking. So I forced him into it. And I remember him, like, he's really good about it, but I do remember him one time pouting. I don't remember what I did, but there was a pout involved. So that's this time around. And then it turned into a point where this time around, I was like, all right, whatever it is that I'm going to cook, I don't want to cook five meals. Yeah. I don't want to cook six different things. So I'm going to cook something that I would have normally cooked, you know, maybe let's say, for example, like pasta and spaghetti with meat sauce or something. And instead of, you know, and throughout the day, normally it would be me on my own with my kids. So I didn't have to worry about my husband. So I would have, you know, salads or leftovers or something like that. But dinner was the one where we all kind of ate together. So I would keep things very separate. So like maybe I would do like the ground beef with the pasta sauce, and I get no sugar added sauce. Mm-hmm. And then I would keep like the pasta in a separate pan, and then I would do spaghetti squash or zoodles or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
And then that way, you know, put it together on your own, throw cheese on it. I don't really care what you do. Mm-hmm. I got my zoodles. I got my spaghetti sauce with sauce, and where everyone's good, everyone's covered, and there's leftovers or not.
Yeah.
And my husband is actually, he tries, or he'll eat most of what I cook at this point. Mm-hmm. My rule with my kids, at first I was like, you guys just, you know, I would make things specifically for them. And even now, it's not where I want it to be, but my goal is for them to eat whatever it is that we're eating and at least have a bite of it. Mm-hmm. As long as you have a bite of it, then you can go do, you know, whatever, but you gotta try it. You can't tell me you don't like it until you try it.
Yep.
And then if they don't want to eat it, that's on them. And then we can play the game tomorrow, and I'll make them pancakes for breakfast or whatever it is that they want. But dinner right now is my focus and my battle with them. But that's a year and a half later. Before, you know, they were getting chicken nuggets and french fries. And again, there was a lot of willpower. I'm going to say a lot of willpower to not, you know what? I take that back. Not willpower, just mindfulness, where before it was out of habit.
Yeah.
100% where I would just grab whatever it is I was cooking and eat it. Mm-hmm. So like not eating it, what I made for them, but eating what I made for me. But part of that was also making it so my dinner was special. You know, maybe I like tried a new recipe, or I got special fancy cheese that I know no one else would like, and it'd be for me, or whatever it may be, but also making mine special so I didn't feel like, oh, here I am with, you know, vegetables. I don't want sad vegetables, you know? Like, I don't want to be, like, you know, there's some meme somewhere where it's like, you know, no one wants to know about your sad salad and stuff like, you know? Like, I wanted it to be good, and I wanted to be excited about my food too. So that's kind of where I went. Like, I would try, maybe I would try some different kind of, like, I've never, like, spaghetti squash, or I tried acorn squash, or mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah.
So just making it special in its own way.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. Now,
you have done a couple of 12-week groups with me.
Yes.
How did that contribute to your journey? How was that a factor? How was that different than the periods of time in the last 18 months where you've been working alone? Where has that factored into your journey?
So I started listening to the podcast, and I started losing on my own for about 3 months. And one of my fears was that I would gain it back, or that I would kind of lose my grip. So I wanted to join the Fat Loss Fast Track to make sure I had a solid foundation, which I remember me and my father-in-law had this conversation where I was like, I want to make sure that my foundation is solid mm-hmm. so that when I'm building on this, you know, I don't want to gain anything back. Yep. I want this to stick.
Yep.
So, and what I really liked about the Fast Loss Fast Track is it was very much more about specifically about me, and and it was even like that example of, you know, why are you going to food and what's the reason behind it? That one, where it was like, see how much, here is a very specific goal, focus on it, on you, and then kind of talking to other people about it and having that sense of community where I can hear other people's experiences, and a lot of them you relate to. Yeah. And then I can take it back, you know, and use it in practice for me. So I did 2 fat loss fast tracks. And then when I started work, I just had to take a break from like, I had to focus on doing the whole working mom thing. And then my husband got out of the Navy, we were moving, and just things got completely crazy. But thankfully I did have a really solid foundation. Where I haven't gained any of it back. Like there's been like weight fluctuation, but never a point where I'm like up 20 pounds. Like everything has stood firm, even in, you know, times where I didn't make the best choices. And what recently I, after a break, I've rejoined the one now, I felt as though I didn't really know where to go, where I've been in this place. I've been standing on my solid foundation. And I want to do more. And at a certain point, I told myself that I was good with where I am. You know, I've lost 100. I was 110 pounds at that time. I lost 110 pounds. If I stayed this way forever, I would be good.
Yes.
And I don't believe it. I feel like it was like a way for me to stay in my comfort zone. And even I, of course I have more room to grow. Of course, even if I didn't lose any more weight, there's still things that I want to improve on. So, I rejoined this one just so that I can kind of get some, direction and a way to focus on where it is, some of my weaker points. And because you don't say, all right, well, pay attention to X, Y, and Z and do this.
Yeah.
You say, for example, 5 times today, look at what you're turning to.
Yeah.
And so this week being on vacation, you know, there have been multiple times where I'm like going to get something that's not the best. I'm going for a bag of chips. And it's like, why am I turning to this? Cause you're tired. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Things like that where it's so specific on you because you make it what it is. You know,
exactly. You apply it to your unique life.
Exactly. So yeah, it's been good, and I'm glad that I've jumped back in just because I feel as though, again, everyone has stuff that they can improve on. And while listening to the podcast, you know, I'm able to kind of take those things in a more general sense. Yeah. We get so specific, and then we all talk about it.
Right.
And
in the group,
I'm able to, there was one the other day that someone posted and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so there with you, you know, where it wasn't one of my big rocks, but it was a rock. It was in there somewhere.
Yeah. So what would you say? Cause I get emails every day, similar to the email that you sent me 18 months ago, somebody who feels like they can't get themselves to do the work they want to, but they aren't doing it. Maybe they have kids. Maybe they just don't believe in themselves. Given that you have transformed your whole life in a very short period of time, what would you say if you were talking to yourself as you were 18 months ago? What did that version of you really need to hear?
I just thinking about that email gave me chills again. I feel like a lot of people, myself included, jump on excuses. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. They're actually valid. They can be valid reasons. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to say if you want it bad enough, but if you're serious, you know, you have to put in the work. And if you're not willing to put in the work, then it's not going to happen for you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. You know? But if I was talking to myself 18 months ago and me now, I would, I don't know. That's hard because part of me wants to say, you know, baby steps. Baby steps is probably the first thing. Take one thing, tackle it one thing at a time, because it is a lot. You know, you've spent your whole life building up these habits and these your mental self-talk. You know, the voice inside your head has been there for however many years. So you have to work on changing that, which is why one of the things, those mantras kind of were so helpful, because you would catch yourself in that cycle of negative self-talk. And maybe a lot of people don't have that, but I definitely did, where you have to stop. And, you know, even if you don't believe it at first, I think, you know, it was somewhere in our Fat Last Fast Track, it was like, work on your affirmation like 10 times. And eventually it becomes habit. Eventually that changes your self-talk.
Yeah.
Which makes things so much easier. If you're just like nice, if you talk to a friend the way that you talk to yourself, you would not be friends with yourself.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how I was 18 months ago.
Sure. Yeah.
So changing that story and that dialogue with yourself is huge, because you don't need to beat yourself up when you make bad choices. You just need to make the next best choice.
Yeah.
And then the next best choice, and focus on that instead of sitting there and wallowing and feeling like, well, I already did it, so I may as well just go in.
And that's such an easier way to live.
Yes. 100. Yeah. And I don't want to, I mean, I know I was unhappy when I was 300 pounds, but it wasn't because I was 300 pounds. It was because of how I was and who I was.
Right.
And I think a lot of people think, oh, if I lost weight, then I'd be happier. But it's really, you have to work on being happier.
Yeah.
In order to be kind to yourself and then work on losing the weight.
Right. And I think that it all stems from your thoughts, because, you know, our thoughts lead to our emotions, and that influence our choices. And so many people want to jump right to the choices. I need to eat less. I need to move more. And if they would just make that shift of, I'm going to think differently, I'm going to participate right in the solution, I'm not going to be so unkind to myself, you would be amazed at how that shifts everything.
Yeah, but it's so hard. You know, it's so easy. I feel like it's easy for me to say now, 18 months later, you know?
Yeah.
But when you're in it and you're in that cycle, it just feels like that's how you are. That's your life. That's who, the type of person you are. But it's not, if you want to change it, you can take steps to work on it and just focus on the way that you think to yourself, and journaling and writing those things down. But that was a huge shift.
And I think that capitalizing on, you know, start small doesn't necessarily mean start with breakfast, right? It could be that I'm just not going to tell myself I can't. I'm going to instead, like, it can be that's the small shift. Instead of, I can't lose weight, I've tried everything, I can and I will when I'm ready.
Right.
That could be the small shift. And I think that it absolutely has to start small. And for a lot of people, that small change isn't first going to be about food. It's first going to be about thoughts.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And again, it was that whole, you know, no one's going to force you to eat this. You don't have to.
Right.
And feeling like it was okay versus like the devil on your shoulder and the angel on your shoulder, where it's like, oh, but I want to. Kind of getting rid of that, where instead of it being a debate, walking away, being logical, saying, you know what, if you really want this, you can come back to it later. Yeah. But for right now, now is not a good time. Walk away.
Right. When I'm hungry, if I really need fuel, this is one of the options. But right now, I'm just bored. Or right now, I just ate. I'll come back to this. And if I really want it and I think it's worth it, when I'm hungry and my body needs fuel, I'll have it then.
And one of the things when I started working, I had already lost it was a little under 100 pounds. So when I told people I lost 100 pounds, they would all be shocked and then say, oh, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. And I would kind of not have any idea how to answer that. Yeah. Like, because I would love to look at you and say, well, I only ate vegetables, but it's really not that easy. There was a lot that went into it. So then when I, you know, a few people I would get deep into and I'd have the conversation and I'd share the podcast and the mind shift. And then they would kind of glaze over because it would be like, no, I want you to just tell me you ate keto. Like, I just, I would like for you to just tell me right. that you only ate green things for 3 months. And that's right. how you, and I'm like, you know, it was definitely more than that.
Yeah. There's no way to label it. It's taking impeccable yes. care of yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And knowing that you're worth it, you know, finding that self-worth part.
I want to wrap up by sharing something that my sister texted to me just the other day, and I think that it reflects you. It certainly reflects my journey, and it just says, "Of course I struggle. I just don't quit."
Oh, I like that.
I do too. And I think, you know, that's there. It doesn't all of a sudden become this effortless thing. It doesn't all of a sudden mean that you have all of the answers for your body. We all struggle. The difference is we won't quit.
Oh, I am putting that on a t-shirt or something, man, because I'm on vacation this week. So, you know, there's lots of temptation, treats, desserts, chips, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, certain things I've totally abstained from with no issue and no problem and walked away. But then, you know, last night I had a dessert that I haven't had in years and I had no regrets about it and I was good until I had the second and the third one. And then I was like, oh, well, all right, lesson learned.
Yep.
Not going to have, you know, and so we're making it again tonight. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't need it tonight. Yeah. Not only did I have it last night, I had it in excess last night and here's your chance to practice. You don't need any tonight.
Yeah. So, there's no drama. It's just, I don't quit.
Yes.
I don't quit. Absolutely. Here I am again.
Cutting out the drama was huge.
Yeah.
That, oh man, because I feel as though my life was centered around food drama. And should I? Shouldn't I? Can I? And let me weigh this. Does it fit this? Can I do this? And it's just like, you know what? It's not about that. Am I hungry?
Right.
Is it going to make me feel my best? Cool.
Yeah.
Or not.
It's that simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to have any more drama than you give it, right? And generally speaking, we give it way too much.
Absolutely.
Well, I am so inspired by you. I am so excited for you. I'm excited for your whole family because this creates a different life for everybody who knows you. So thank you for being willing to share. Because I know there is somebody who can relate to your story, who can relate to your struggle, who's inspired by your growth. And I, for one, am continuously inspired and encouraged by you. So thank you for allowing me to be a small part of your journey.
Thank you. But I have to say that you're a huge part in the journey. And I think a very big piece of the puzzle was I felt like there was someone to relate to. It wasn't a list. It wasn't a program. It wasn't something that I had to, you know, look up, but you were a real person who had gone through it. And not only did you relate some of the mindset and the emotional stuff, some of the science stuff really helped me too, where it was like, oh my gosh, that's why I do X, Y, and Z. And I was able to feel like it wasn't just my body and me fighting against each other.
Right.
So a lot of the information, a lot of the podcasts really kind of helped hammer in those foundations that I was able to keep going and keep moving and then focus on new things and different things and not even all food, you know, just making the best life, you know, making my life the best life it could be. So thank you for all that you've done.
It is my pleasure, and I can't wait to see where you go from here.
Without your podcast and without the Fat Loss Fast Track, there's no doubt that I would definitely not be where I am today, without a doubt. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/ join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.